Welcome back to the show, Friday, January 18, ahead of another big sporting weekend. Andrew Mason, Mark Stevens with you. And jumping in, as he always does through the Australian Open, is Craig Gabriel, direct from his bed, which he only got to spend a few minutes in last night. In fact, Garbi Muguruza, I think, has just finished her match. 3:30 it finished this morning or somewhere around there.
Something around that.
Morning, Craig.
Is it?
How did this match go so late?
I actually thought there was some sort of a curfew.
So did I.
I mean, I really did. So that match went on at close to 12:30, which from what I understand is the latest start to a match ever at the Australian Open. So I don't know. I think there was, at one stage, there was talk about moving it to one of the other courts to get it started before... Zverev's match finished, but that didn't happen, and because that fifth set raced through so quickly with Zverev and Shardy that they just held on and put it on back on that court.
A lot of drama late last night too, not only on the court but off the court as well. Wait, do you want to start or finish with the feud?
Finish.
Right. Let's start on a good note. Bolt of courage, Alex Bolt. Yesterday.
He's a headline writer's dream, this guy.
Well, lightning bolt.
Lightning bolt.
Exactly. What
bolt
about
from the blue? You can pick whatever you want.
What would you have gone with? Back page of the Herald Sun went with guts and bolt.
I wouldn't have gone with that.
No.
Bolt from the blue would have done me, but what a great story. He was playing footy. AFL footy up at Murray Bridge. But Australian tennis throws these stories up, Craig, don't they?
They're
journeymen. And then because we've got the advantage of having a Grand Slam with a wild card that we can let these guys in, that sometimes they can take advantage.
Yeah. Well, I remember years ago with Casey Delacroix, or as the Americans say, Delacroix. the story of Casey and going to Target to buy her clothes play and all that. Yeah. So, yes, it does throw up some wonderful stories. Players that are, well, I hate that term, battlers, but okay, let's just use it in this situation.
Journeymen. Yeah,
I think they'd rather have battlers than journeymen.
I'd rather be a journeyman.
But it is absolutely wonderful. It really is. It's fantastic to hear these stories, and because people just hear of the big guns and flying privately and the five stars and all that, and to show another side, another face of the sport and what it's really like is fantastic.
2664467664. Describe the performance for us over Gilles Simon, the number 29th seed.
It was gutsy. He really dug deep. I mean, and facing match points in there as well to survive all that and keep on going. Oh my goodness! Full marks to the guy.
Do you know what's interesting as well? We spoke, Craig. We've been talking about a couple of days now. Players taking a break or some time away from tennis.
Yes.
And this is exactly what Alex Bolt did a little while ago. Stepped away from the game, went back to normal life, and obviously learnt a few life lessons, picked up the racket again, and is...
He didn't enjoy the sport. He didn't like what he was doing, and this is very similar to Ash Barty. She got fed up and tired of the sport, and it rekindled the love of the sport and the competitive drive, and that's what's fantastic.
Alexei Popyrin was the other good story from yesterday as well. Now, Steve, you're a tennis man too. Have you seen, and you're a big fan of Dominic Thiem.
I'm a huge fan.
Were you surprised when he pulled the pin?
I've got him down as the next man in waiting the next big thing. I've seen him play such great tennis, but I thought in the first round he looked a bit off. And then again yesterday, do you think he just, is there something underlying with him going into the summer?
I don't know if this, I thought I heard that there was some sort of a virus that he was suffering with. But let's not take anything away from Alexei Popyrin.
No.
That was a remarkable and outstanding performance. And I also think that he's seen his friend, Alex Dimonor, produce the goods. And they were in the Junior Davis Cup team together, as I was talking about yesterday. Figures, well, why can't I do it? I know he'd practiced with Serena. She spoke to him, gave him some suggestions.
With Serena,
gave him some suggestions and advice and all that. So, these you draw on every little thing that you can.
Yeah. How would he have hooked up with Serena for a hit?
I actually don't know how that came about. Yeah, I don't know how that came about.
But he's a good size, isn't he?
Tall, skinny, you know, great reach.
We're finding some players, Craig, aren't we?
Well, let's hope they all kick on, you know? I mean, I think that Alex Bolt needs to build on this. There's more chance of Alexei Popyrin moving through because he's only 19. Alex Bolt is 26. You know, I think he can get himself inside the top 100. I think Popyrin has got more opportunity and more time to get himself like top 20. So it's going to be exciting to see. And you know what I picked up on it? Just out of the blue, somebody else might have picked it up as well. The three remaining guys, Alex, Alexei.
Oh, there you go. Mm. Did not know that. Well, the last time three Aussie men made it through to the third round was all the way back in 2004. Here's a quiz question for you, Steve-O. Can you name those three in 2004?
I should know that, but I don't.
So one was Leighton.
I would have been covering it for the Herald Sun, maybe a bit lacking in sleep like Craig.
Leighton, Philippoussis and Reid. They were the three.
Todd Reid.
Yep. Name. Yeah there's yeah. a name. Speaking of injuries and a sad life. Yeah. Unbelievable that it's taken this long for considering the depth we've had at certain stages.
We do tend to start the Aussie Open pretty well, don't we? A few upsets
we
go
do,
our
yeah.
way. So it is surprising that it's been that long that we've got three go through.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's been a long time, 2004. And considering we had that sort of golden generation, you'd think that there would have been a few tennis players underneath inspired by that, but they haven't quite come through until now. Now we're building a nice bank, hopefully, to move forward into the future as well.
And I've got to ask you, Craig, how is the tournament now to cover? They've moved the media area, haven't they? That was a couple of years ago. So is it still the same buzz, or are the media sort of tucked away in the back pocket down there, and it's harder to sort of bump into the celebrities and the stars?
It is harder to do that. It's also been split up. So you've got the media facility on two floors, on the fourth floor and on the second floor. So you don't really have as much connection. But it's still a temporary facility. Next year, I think it's next year that we move into the permanent facility.
They never stop working on it, do they?
No.
It will go on year after year. It's just an amazing facility.
It is. It's a remarkable facility.
How does it compare, Craig, with everywhere else in the world?
Well, Andy Murray said this is the best anywhere in the world. He said nothing compares to this. So I have not as yet had an opportunity to get into the player area, into the new player lounge and all that. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
It's just been full on. So, but from all accounts, it's absolutely fabulous.
What would your ratings be, Craig, for the Grand Slams as far as...
The majors.
Yeah, the majors. Yeah. Sorry, we've argued this on Twitter, actually. Yeah, I've made the mistake. The majors that make up the grand.
I learnt my lesson early this summer.
Give us your ranking 1 to 4 as far as just the whole package to turn up, maybe as a spectator / media, and just the grounds and the surrounds.
I think between here and the US Open, there's the most space to move around in. So you look at that. I don't know what the French is going to be like because they're in the throes of a major redevelopment. Everything is very temporary this year for the French Open. So they're building another new court. They're putting a roof on Châtrier, the main court. So things are going to be a state of flux over there. So it's difficult at the moment to compare. Wimbledon, the new roof comes into force this year on court one. So things are changing all over. I think once we see Paris done and Wimbledon, what it's going to be like this year, I think we'd get a better idea. It's difficult at this point to say because there's so many changes happening with these four majors.
Have you been lucky enough, Steve-O, to go to any of the other majors?
I haven't. I've travelled to Wimbledon when it wasn't on. Not obviously being a footy reporter, it's hard to get away to another major. I've just obviously watched from afar, but I just sort of watch the French Open and think, gee, that would be a special place.
That's your one?
It's chic.
Your one on
chic. Because
you'd rather go to the French than Wimbledon if you had one to choose from.
Yeah, probably. Because I enjoy the clay court tennis as well. I just like the grind. I used to like the grass. Wimbledon, fantastic. But it's chic, as Craig said. It's a Lacoste type of environment. Mm-hmm.
It is very much a Lacoste environment.
It is a Craig Gabriel environment then.
And they tend to sort of, they have a long lunch and you could see.
Oh, God, yeah.
But
we don't get the chance for that. Yeah. You don't have the time for that. But yes, you do. I mean, it's a bit of a people watcher tournament.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you still have all of those people that would turn up very casually dressed, but I think there's an element of style over there with the people, the fans that turn up.
That's why you fit in with your Lacoste wardrobe.
Monsieur, merci. Now, a
couple of the other results from yesterday. Now, I forgot how old Ivo Karlovic was. He's 40 next month.
Yeah. Amazing.
And almost beat Kanish.
But when you've got a serve like that, you don't have to do a lot more.
Another 58 aces yesterday.
As long as the shoulder's working fine, that's all he needs. But amazing story.
Absolutely. Yeah. David and Goliath in that one. You know, the height differential. But it is an amazing story. The way he is still there. He's still putting it in. I mean, the first time I ever ran into Ivo Karlovic or got to see him was when he beat Leighton Hewitt in the first round of Wimbledon the year after Hewitt was the defending champion.
Yep.
So, and he's gone on from there. But he's a big guy.
Very good on Twitter, too.
He is hysterical.
Yeah.
Hysterical.
Okay. He's shown a bit of life on Twitter.
Excellent.
Very, very funny.
Good. But why is it, Craig, we've got older players, which is fantastic. The career span, is it just the advancement in the technology as far as your recovery and more professional in the way they're going about it?
There is that. I think it's also just this era of player that has tended to blossom a little bit later. There were so many guidelines put in following years ago when all of the younger players were just totally burning out, and especially on the women's side where they put the age eligibility rule in. I think part of that has got something to do with it as well. And I think players are tending to maybe space out their schedules a little bit more as well and be a bit choosy.
Cracking match yesterday during the day between Wawrinka and...
You think so?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah?
It was tight.
Well, I was doing the ball-by-ball commentary of the first set, and I was struggling to stay awake.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I thought that first set was awful. It was, tight.
It was
no
tight.
Doubt.
Yeah,
no
yeah.
doubt. Absolutely. It was a very close match. But I was struggling in that
Got better
first
as
set.
It went on.
Yeah. A little bit, yep.
A little bit.
You need to get some more sleep.
I actually
think last year we had a greater number of unbelievable matches, incredible matches, especially on the women's side last year. This year, some good matches, but to me, last year was at another level on the standard and excitement of matches.
Yeah, okay. All right. Couple of games today I want to preview before we get to
matches. Maisie, they're matches.
Matches, that's what I said.
No, you said a couple
games.
Of games. Yeah,
oh,
that's
games.
Another
sorry,
Craig's
sorry.
Pet hack.
Yes.
It's tennis is a match, and the games are involved in that. So.
Thank you for explaining that. To
yeah,
me,
like Sam Groth and I had a battle on Twitter last week.
Yes.
Yeah. What about matches and games?
Oh, it started off with the MC in Brisbane referring to Ashley Cooper as a winner of four Australian Opens. Wrong Australian Championships.
Yes.
He didn't win one after 1968.
Right. I like how you're a stickler for things.
You know, it's on those sorts of points that really grate me because it's tennis, it's important tennis terminology, and I think we've become very lazy with the reference on the majors. It's become a colloquial term to refer to it as a Grand Slam.
Don't get me started because I'm a grammar Nazi, so I'm a stickler for a lot of little things like that. Let's talk about a couple of the matches today. Mm. Ash Barty playing Maria Sakkari. How do you see this one?
I like this. It's the first match on Rod Laver Arena. And I think we'll see some nice tennis in this one. The two of them are friends. So I just have so much time for both these players. And I think it's going to be, hopefully, it'll be a really good one to watch.
How do you think Ash will go?
Yeah, I think Ash might win on this occasion. The head-to-head is 1-1. Sakkari won the last time.
So. Tough game tonight, Kim Birrell. Tell you what. Speak of... David Goliath, Kimberly Birrell takes on Angelique Kerber, the number 2 seed. This is on Rod Laver Arena, hopefully at around 9 p.m.
at a reasonable hour.
Yes. Yeah. So hopefully the crowd can stick around. Well done to the fans last. There was still about 150 there last night.
I was trying to count them. There were
3 hours ago. Yeah, amazing. But anyway, Kimberly Birrell, what does she want to get out of tonight?
The experience. Absolutely. You know, she's going to go out. I hope she's going out there with the frame of mind, I'm going to win this match. I'm going to do everything possible. I believe I can win this. You have to have that attitude. It's going to be Simona Halep, Serena Williams, Venus, and Angie all on the one court, and still you've got to believe you can win this. So I hope that is it. And you can't, I don't see her winning it, but... you know, good luck to, and hopefully she does really well.
So Ash, obviously the better chance of the Aussies to go through out of those two. For Kimberly Birrell, though, she'll walk away, I think it's about 155,000. Sets her up for the year. What can we see from her this year in terms of
improvement? Probably a new Kia.
Yes, yes. But in terms of improvement, and this is the challenge for a lot of these Aussies, because we have these stories every year of players who make it to the second and third round that we haven't heard of too much, and we learn their stories, and a lot of them we don't hear of until the Australian Open the next year when the wild cards are mentioned. What can we expect from Kimberly this year? Because she is, I mean, it's important to note, a few of the wildcard entries who've done well this year on the Australian side of things are only 19. You know, we've got Popperin, who's 19. We've got Birrell, who's 19. These youngsters coming through are promising and obviously got a bit more scope for improvement compared to like an Alex Bolt, who's 25, 26.
Yeah. Look, this is going to help her ranking. She's going to pick up some important ranking points. She's still not going to be top 100, but it's going to give her more access to tournaments where she doesn't have to go through qualifying rounds, because she's 240 at the moment on the official. I hadn't checked what the live ranking would be. So that's an important aspect. She's got the $155,000 or so as a cushion, financial cushion for herself. It's still not enough, but that's going to help her as well. She's not going to have to be, you know, running to the corner KFC or something every, you know, to be satisfying, you know, appetites and things like that. So she's got that behind her as well. So that should help make her mind a little bit more easier to be able to concentrate on the job at hand. Hopefully that will help with the results and give her that confidence. Winning breeds confidence.
The last look at tonight, Alex Dimonor and Rafael Nadal. Now, I didn't actually know this, but Alex Dimonor's mum is from Spain.
Yes.
And the Spanish Tennis Federation gave him a bit of a call to see if he wanted to play for Spain growing up. But he wanted to play for Australia, which is always good news. But a big challenge for him tonight. And a big challenge, especially coming off a five-setter as well. Mm-hmm. He's spoken about his fitness a lot. This will be a good test tonight against Rafa.
19 years old. Look, seriously, he'll be fine. I cannot believe he's going to feel any sort of tiredness when he walks on the court. And that excitement of Rod Laver Arena, the first night match against one of the greatest players the sport has ever seen, all that is just going to get him going. I think what's important is that at least he's played Rafa once before on a massive court at Wimbledon, centre court Wimbledon. Sure, he only got, what, 7-8 games in that match, but it's given him a look in, and that's going to be important for him. He's not going to be in awe of Rafa.
Do you think I think he can almost get a set.
That's what I think. Rafa. That's what I think, yeah.
Because they play a similar brand. It's a grinding style.
Yep.
Obviously, Rafa's probably does it a rung above what Alex is at the moment. But there won't be any easy points at all for Rafa. The way that he was retrieving the ball.
Exactly.
No,
two nights ago.
I can't wait for this. It's going to be
It should be great fun to watch. It really will be.
Fantastic night. Before we finish with you, Craig, we've got to get to the feud. It's continued overnight between Leighton Hewitt and Bernard Tomic in particular. Let's listen to what Leighton had to say after playing doubles last night.
Well, Bernie is what we've come to expect from Bernie. You know, after, pretty much whatever Grand Slam it is, after a first round loss, he'll come out with something. Spent a lot of time with him one-on-one at a lot of tournaments. Tried to get a coaching structure and physical team around him to give him the best opportunity. At the end of the day, he still kept making the wrong mistakes. For me, it was probably the abuse that I copped from him that, in the end, I drew a line in the sand and, haven't spoken to him since.
Does that continue?
Oh, it will. He won't play Davis Cup while I have anything to do with it. I think the threats that I've received for me and my family that I've had for a year and a half now, I don't think anyone would reach out to a person that speaks like that. So
directly from Bernie,
yes.
From his team?
No, from Bernie.
And about the threats, are they physical threats or...?
Both.
Both. Yeah. What do you, sorry.
Blackmail, threats and physical, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned those threats were for your family as well.
Yeah.
Can you tell us, is that God. Partner or...?
Yeah, family. Yeah, just close-knit family. So, but I still have those.
Clayton, can you explain why these threats from Bernard started and how frequently they were?
Yeah, well, it started because it started because of blackmails to do with wildcards. But this was over a year ago.
Some sensational claims from Leighton Hewitt last night. That was incredible listening.
The soap opera goes on, doesn't it, in Australian tennis?
Well, why did he not say this 2 days ago?
Well, he wasn't asked.
He should have been.
Mm-hmm. He was asked three or four questions, but yeah. It was a fairly
well, the one on television was pointless.
Well, yeah, correct.
Very, very light interview.
Yeah, but there was a lot of talk around the facility that he was going to be doing a press conference 2 days ago, 3 days ago. That never eventuated. It happened on TV, and as Mark said, it was light. It was almost pointless. But so it's taken 3 days. And we thought something could have happened a lot sooner.
It's an incredible accusation that he's made.
More him than Tennis Australia.
Yeah.
More him, more Hewitt than Tennis Australia.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Mm. I mean, that's a huge accusation to make. Blackmail, threats on family. Yeah.
The word blackmail is very strong.
Very strong. Yeah, and he said, it was to do with Davis Cup. So, if he's going to throw that out there, I think he should have been more revealing as to what the blackmail specifically was.
That's a story that'll keep going.
It's
all
interesting,
throughout the
obviously,
weekend,
because he's playing doubles, he's obliged to talk, isn't he?
So yeah.
You have to talk.
That's true if you're requested. But I felt for poor John Patrick Smith, who was just sitting there the whole time.
I know
the poor guy and his sweet guy. But again, he could have gone in and said, "I'm only talking about doubles."
Yep.
So if that's the case, he could have spoken earlier in the week.
Oh, it seemed like
it. I think Leighton should be congratulated. We in the media often think that people don't speak, their mind or open up. So I think it's a bit hard to criticise Leighton for that. I think it was a revealing interview, and I felt sorry for the double. We could have asked him, how's your backhand volley? Did someone ask him a question?
No,
probably
not one question.
Oh, poor old JP Smith.
JP Smith.
Let's try and get him on the show next week. We can ask him about his tennis, which is what he's actually there for.
But I think this story will erupt further now.
Yes, it will.
Obviously, being in TV news now, I'm just sort of... What is it, 7 a.m. now? Just thinking in the news directors as they turn up, I think this will explode further.
It will.
That won't go away. It'll be followed up further today.
I dare say
wherever
so.
Bernie is, there may be a journo just coming from behind a tree or
hiding
in a bin. Yeah.
Great,
you two working together, you both said bin at the same time.
We've seen too many bins in action. Thanks so much for your time, Craig. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend at tennis, and looking forward to the fallout over the weekend. It will continue, no doubt.